One World, One People doesn't quite have the same punch as Hail Hydra, but it is the episode we're reviewing for this episode of the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel TV show The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which changes its name at the end. And I'm going to change my name right now. And I'm Jerry Bennett. Oh, I didn't
Who
do
are
it.
You?
I forgot.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us as we wrap up this round of television shows in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we talk about the season finale or series finale. We don't have a pretty short series, but they could always change that to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier with the episode One World, One People, Fried Chicken. So that is where we're going to go. We're going to spoil the heck out of it, talk about the series as a whole, comic book connections, Easter eggs, things we just want to discuss. If you have anything you want to add into this conversation, please let us know, and we'll try to add that into the next podcast. We have just a little bit of a break in between this podcast and then the next one coming up here, but in between that time, Jerry, what's happening?
That's right. We're bringing back a podcast on what's happening, great 1978 show with Rod, Dwayne, and Rerun, and little kid sister D. No, we are going to do our 300th episode. Our timing on this for one time only, it actually worked out good in between anything going on. So we're going to do our 300th episode, and we were trying to figure out what we want to do. We're kind of leaning towards the movie 300, because it's in the
Rise
name.
Of an Empire, yes.
Yeah, not that second one. No, but we were all talking about other things. Make it something somewhat interesting.
Yeah, Catwoman with Halle Berry.
Oh, God. No, that one, that's never going to happen.
Steel with Shaq.
But we have asked if you guys have any suggestions. Steel. God, no. You don't have to be mean about it. But if you have suggestions, let us know, especially either go through Facebook or go to our Gmail, all those things that Joel will give you the information for. And let us know what you would like to hear or think would be something worth talking about. Tim Curtis and actually friend Josh Charles actually made the comment about the terrible Captain America TV movie. There was two of them starring Reb Brown. I unfortunately had to see those when I was a kid, and I don't want to watch those again. But thank you for the mean, cruel way. They're terrible. Oh, they're so bad. And famed contributor Ed Pierce had actually, I cannot stress enough, Ed does not have Disney Plus. He's been listening to these podcasts. No idea the shows. What an insane person. Insane person. I even had a conversation like, why wouldn't you? At least with you could do a.
He goes to our Patreon and gives us $9.99 a month, which doesn't make any sense.
I wish that was the case. No, I told him like he could watch Gus starring Dick Butkus and Don Knox on Disney Plus, and he had a little comment the fact that Dick Butkus was a star player at the University of Illinois, and he gave me two paragraphs on Dick Butkus, but he can't get Disney Plus. It's insane. But his suggestion for episode 300. He says, now that both Clark Gregg and Julia Louis-Dreyfus are in the MCU, we should do a review of each episode of The New Adventures of Old Christine. And then he also said we should tie it into St. Elsewhere. So I don't foresee that happening, but any chance he can bring back The New Adventures of Old Christine, that very popular Julia Louis-Dreyfus series that she did after Seinfeld, but not before another terrible one, but she did do it. Or she did it after another show that nobody remembers, but she did it before she did Veep. So, all right. I don't think that's
going to
happen.
Shocked that Disney Plus allowed someone with the name Dick Butkus on their platform. It's
don't
terrible.
Dissuade.
I love Dick Butkus. What an amazing football player.
I'm going to edit that together.
What an amazing football player.
It won't sound like that when I'm done editing it.
One of the great Bears of all time.
Not helping. All right. So that's something that's looking forward in the future for us, before we get back into the Loki series and the Black Widow movie and all the other stuff that could happen there. So again, throw suggestions at us. It can be more than one or two things. We may talk about a bunch of stuff.
Could be shorts. Who knows? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It could be 10 minutes.
It could be a 30-minute cartoon and then something else. Or we may watch the episode where Morph dies from X-Men.
This one's for you, Morph.
Not Morph.
Sterile.
They're going to kill an X-Men. Which one? Is it going to be Storm? Wolverine? Professor X?
It's a mutant. A stinking
Morph?
Mutant.
Which one could it be, Jerry?
I don't know. So in the meantime, we're now going to discuss the series finale? Yep. Season finale?
No. Did you not just hear me go through that whole thing earlier about 5 minutes ago?
No.
You know what I said? The series finale could be the season finale. It depends on what they want to do. I just said that 5 minutes ago.
I didn't say you didn't say it. I'm referencing it. I'm
no,
referring
you're
not. To
it. Oh, that's great.
They have not announced if it's going to be season two or not. And the show would lean itself towards that. I don't think it's going to be called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, according to how this show ends. And there is rumor mill that a Captain America 4 is going to go forward and not involve Chris Evans. And we'll see if that's the case.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. You know, they want the same writing team who did this show. They're the ones in talks to do the Captain America 4. I think it'd be great. You know, continue the storyline. Captain America obviously still exists in this universe now. It's just not Steve Rogers. And he's probably going to make an appearance at some point in Jerry's long-awaited bated breath of Secret Wars or Secret Invasion.
Secret Wars. It's no secret.
Invasion Wars.
So talking about this episode, episode 6, One World, One People. Joel, what did you think of this episode?
You know, it was good. I think it was on par with the last episode. I think it had great moments. It had moments we're going to talk about. You know, were they good? Were they not? I don't know. It's hard for me to wrestle with this one in my head because there's things I really liked, really, really liked about it. And there's things I was just confused, I guess. Maybe not confused, but there's things I'm not sure if I liked or not. So hopefully I'm waiting to really pass judgment until we have this podcast, so we go through it all, because I think there's a significant amount of stuff to talk about, even though it was a really action-based episode. What about you?
I'm of two minds of it also. I really liked it, but I'm trying to figure out what issues I'm bringing to it that aren't on the show. The fact that I like Captain America, the fact that I like Sam as the Falcon, the fact of what happens with Sharon Carter. There's a lot of factors in there that I'm trying to think, am I just bringing my issues with it to the show? Is that the show's problem or not? You know, I really liked the show and the action was good. I don't know if this was my favorite episode out of all of it. I mean, I really enjoyed some of the earlier episodes more, and we can get into the moments of why.
Because Zemo was in the earlier episodes.
That's not the reason.
That's a big part of it, though. Well, he was awesome.
Here's the thing. With this action in this episode, I had issues with editing, shaky camera work, and dark scenes. I'm trying to figure out if that had any. It was better watching it the second time. I was able to follow it a little bit better. And I had to look and think, why is this? Why is it those factors that are hurting this episode for me? And there's a couple other.
It's not dark like Game of Thrones was dark. This was, I mean, you could definitely see what's going on and follow the action if you really pay close attention to it. It just sucks that it's at night.
Yeah, it's strange. And there's issues that I'm really of two minds with the costume, the uniform.
Oh yeah.
Part of me is like, yes, you did exactly what it looks like in the comic book and everything, and that's really accurate. And the other part was like, but I don't know why I'm not. Is it the color?
His ears look scrunched in there?
Why, you know, his shoulders? I'm not sure. I mean, I look at it certain parts. I'm like, yes, it's absolutely perfect. And other parts, I'm like, I'm not sure. And I'm bringing that up into connection with, I've never questioned the Falcon's costume before this moment.
I have.
But you questioned his facial hair.
I did. His facial hair in Endgame looks like a football helmet strap. And I think it looks terrible. I think it's lying terribly. And I'm not a fan of it. Which is fine. That's my opinion, and I can have that opinion about his facial hair. Mm-hmm. He's obviously a multi-millionaire actor based on his looks, so I could be completely wrong. But that was my. But you're right. I don't have a problem with his costume per se. So, but this costume, yeah. One of the things we mentioned when we were watching it, man, his ears look uncomfortable. They look like they're folded down or trapped in there, and it just felt weird.
But they can fix that. In future appearances, they always adjust Captain America's costume. Captain America's costume has gone through so many iterations. Iterations. Thank you. And how weird it looks in Avengers.
It's a shame that the Wakanda didn't fork out the money to make it like a nano suit.
Thank God. I hate that stuff. Zip on, zip off. Ugh. All right. Let's talk about One World, One People.
Jerry, who is this episode directed by?
Kara.
Close, actually. Carrie
Skoglund. Would you let me finish? No.
If I would let you try to finish, we'd be here all day. Yeah, so we're going to talk about this episode, and let's just dive right into it. Here we go. The GRC is still in lockdown. Sam arrives. I saw someone post this online, and I have to repeat. I don't know who. I can't give credit to who it is because I don't know who wrote it. But Sam arrives from Louisiana to New York. Now, you remember last episode, he opens it up, sees the crate, right? Mm-hmm. And then the New York City, the GRC war room, goes into lockdown. And then we see a scene where Sam is opening the crate, and that's how the episode ends. So Sam is able to put on the suit, fly to New York City.
Wonder what that right? speed has to be to make
someone it. Someone did it. Someone said at Mach 2, it would have taken nearly an hour to cover the 1,300-mile distance.
I would, but I mean, that's okay. He took...
Mach 2 is like faster than the speed of sound.
Well, that's a lot.
I believe Mach 1 is the speed of sound. Mach 2
you know
is,
what? There was it's Shield. It's, they always had issues with locations.
Even that's being said, it still takes him a little over an hour. So nothing happened.
Well, we saw outside that they were... Yeah, I guess it's hard. You know,
it's a weird... They did a jump, a leap in position place.
So he didn't take that suitcase with him to New York. And no, I guess he didn't.
They've jumped around a lot. This show takes place all over the world, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's but what we talked about, like I said, with S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. would do that in an episode. They're on a giant plane called the bus, and they would be conveniently wherever they needed to be, East Coast, West Coast, South Coast, wherever. It just wasn't
working. It's one of those things that, like, they don't show Sam and Bucky sitting on the plane for, you know,
well, thank 12, God,
12 hours.
That.
Just, that's what we're doing. We're sitting on the plane now for 12 hours. But we don't want to see that. We don't want to see them sleeping, things like that. But so I just thought that was an interesting anecdote.
Well, speaking of flying in, you know, this sequence opens up where Carly's, you know, saying it's time. And then we hear the audio saying there is a no-fly zone in effect. As we're hearing this, we're also hearing a helicopter fly over. I'm like, where does that not count for helicopters?
Government. I mean, we see later a helicopter that's NYPD flying around that they take down. So it could have been the New York Police Department's helicopter flying overhead.
Okay, yeah. Sam is flying in. And we also get a real brief little, I thought it was nice, is when Bucky's walking up, Sergeant Barnes, he has clearance to go mm-hmm. through. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's good. I like they're acknowledging what's his status other than just, he's not just a citizen who's been pardoned. He's
an Avenger.
He's, or whatever that entails in this universe.
Speaking of people walking up, Sharon shows up. She's wearing one of the electronic face masks.
Ironically, over her existing Skrull mask that she's wearing.
No, but she's not. Nice. Well, it is kind of funny. She's like just behind the lines, and then she takes off her face mask and lets her hair down. It's like, why did you wear the face mask to begin with? Apparently, no one's looking out for you. She just goes, no one's looking for me. And then, why are you wearing the face mask? What was the point if no one's looking for you? But we haven't seen that face mask. We saw it in the MCU as the cinematic universe with Captain America Winter Soldier, and then they used it a lot in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know we talked about that in our previous podcast that we did for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., bennettbrotherspodcast.wordpress.com, if you want to dive back into those podcasts. I said podcast way too many times.
Yes, you did.
But we talked about that before, the idea of the electronic face mask. We've talked about it in conjunction with the movie's Mission Impossible, how it changes sort of everything. Like, you can do anything with those face masks, and that's why you don't see them that often, because they're such a gimmick, but they're very complex as a gimmick, because, like, anybody could be anybody at that point.
Yes,
I know the
and
Skrulls
no.
are doing that.
Yes
but.
And no, because you're dealing... It's the same thing with Mission Impossible. Even if you can make the face look the same, put a wig on, even if you can do the voice modulator so you can sound like the person, you're still... You know, Black Widow is going to look just like that member of the council who was a woman her exact size looking like that. In other words, Sam Jackson can't... Nick Fury can't make himself look like Black Widow. There's not a suit or a image inducer that can cover your look. It's like you're still limited to, which is why Mission Impossible Tom Cruise always used to seem to imitate somebody who was already Tom Cruise in a mustache. It was because, you know, you can't look bigger or shorter than
you know, in Harry Potter, when they use the polyjuice potions, they use that. You become physically, you mm-hmm. look like the person, but your voice doesn't change. You have your mannerisms don't change.
Why wouldn't your voice change? If you're going to do that, your vocal cords would change too. That's
I don't know,
silly
because I don't know if it's a if are they
everything
are
else
they changing?
Changed.
Are they changing, or is the people's the ability to view them changing?
Remember when all the Harry Potters change and Fleur, she becomes and don't look at me because she's a woman now mm-hmm. becoming a man and her body's changing. If you're going to do that, your vocal cords can change
well,
too.
Well, no, you know what it's I'm saying. What I'm saying is the body itself physically changing, or is the perception from other people, is that what's changing?
I've never heard anybody think it's that.
Well, you're hearing it now, Jerry.
No, I'm never going to hear it again.
I think it's pretty good, because I think people like Mad-Eye Moody could see through...
Oh my God, it turned into a Harry Potter
well,
podcast.
I'm just throwing this out there as how another version of like wearing a mask, the polyjuice potion, has been done in Harry Potter. So, yes, there are... things that don't quite correlate, but the face mask idea is interesting, especially in a spy show, but it can become very problematic. You know who died at the end of Endgame? It wasn't Tony Stark. It was someone else wearing a face mask. Like, okay, now you're just being cheap with the whole thing.
That's sci-fi trope that already exists in universes that have non-ending endings.
Scrolls. No,
that's been around for 70 years when comic books realized, hey, it's time to bring back this character again.
It was a Skrull who died the whole time.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
So we obviously see that when Sam's come in that Carly says, he's here, do it now. And that's when they throw the gas in the chamber. But again, we don't know how long they were waiting around in the red light room.
You know what? That red light looks awesome with the guys when they're wearing the suits and the mask. That red light looks really cool. I was like, they should show more of like that. It reminds me of the Axe Gang from Kung Fu Hustle, like this, the suits and all that kind of stuff. That sort of like, it just looked really cool.
Yeah. We see Sam burst in his costume finally, and we get a real good view of it. This is the first time, which the white really pops out of it. And I don't know if that's the distracting element of it or not. Again, I'm not sure what I feel about the suit. Parts of me really, really like it, and parts of me are like, I'm not sure.
Let's talk about the suit for a second. In last week's podcast, when I said it's going to be a Captain America suit, and Jerry said it's going to be new wings, we were both correct on that front. I want to point that out. Also want to point out that Jerry had seen the toys before he told me that it was going to be the new wings. So I was going at it with no idea what it was. I believe Jerry owes me an apology for that.
What would you have rather had me do?
You could have been like, I know what the suit's going to be because I saw it in the toys.
And then what would you respond with?
I've been like, okay, that's cool. Don't tell me.
I felt it. I'm watching this show.
But you told me.
I thought it was the wings. I thought, he's got
based
wings.
Based on the toys.
No.
You told me that.
I looked at this. No, it wasn't. It was like, that was in my head after I said it. I'm like, oh yeah, there was a toy there. But when we were watching, I wasn't focusing on that toy. I saw that image months ago and really have not thought about it at all until after we had the conversation. Because I was watching this show and I was thinking, he's going to get new wings. They'll probably be vibranium because everything comes from Wakanda. I didn't think it was going to be nanotechnology or anything like that. But the way these wings work in this world, as we see in this episode, whether they're able to deflect a helicopter or the way they're digging into a ground, I thought...
The wings don't deflect the helicopter.
The wings are around him in the shield.
And the helicopter hit the shield.
So you're thinking he could have just had the shield up without the wings?
The wings were giving him the brace support of the strength, which we see earlier on when Carly's punching him and the wings go into the ground to give him that extra support because he doesn't have the strength of a super soldier.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
They absolutely could be made out of vibranium, mm-hmm. but there's nothing that says they are.
But again, my comment is when I watched it, I thought, look at the size of that box. That has to be where wings are coming out of it. And then after we were talking, I'm like, I saw the toy. But it wasn't like I was doing it to be...
But the size of the box is nothing. The wings are folded in at that point. So there's like...
Still a big size box.
For the entire suit. That's a big-ass suit.
Get out of here. Iron Man would wear that suitcase thing
That became metal out of nowhere.
You're getting no apology from me.
I deserve an apology and everyone knows
you deserve nothing and like it.
So Sam flies in. He has the shield with him as well, and he goes on to fight Batroc.
Well, beforehand, when he beats that one guy up, the one guy asks him, he's like, who are you? And he goes, I'm Captain America. And then the guy throws out that nice little joke. He's like, I thought he was on the moon. So that
was good. From the first episode when Torres mentioned that. So he fights Batroc. The problem with this fight, which is what I was excited to see it, is we don't see this fight. We see it briefly. They're too busy loading all the people onto a transport and too busy with
He's going to fight him later, though. We see a bunch of him fighting,
But he's been fighting that whole time. Right?
It's hard to say.
This is taking place in real time, which it is.
And I don't always know if that's true in these kind of sequences because I think this is a fictional storytelling idiom or how they deal with it. We're seeing two things happen at the same time, but occasionally you go back over and it's like, while that scene was happening, unless you're doing Brian De Palma and you're putting split screen in everywhere and trying to show it happening at the same time, I always take it like these guys could be doing this and now we're going to cut back to, you know, it's not so, unless there's a countdown, let's just, you know, the TV series 24 that has right
sure,
now.
Sure, but this is implying that it's at the same time because there is at no other point in this entire series where they do that. There's no other point in this entire series where one scene's going on, and then we cut and we rewind time and see exactly what was going on someplace else. They've never explicitly done that. And so if they're doing it for the first time right now, I highly doubt that. I think this is everything to do with there's a fight going on, but we're seeing the other stuff go on, which is totally fine. We don't have to see the entirety of the fight. I would just prefer it. I would rather see Sam fight the Leaper, right? Mm-hmm. So Bucky then gets onto a phone call with Carly.
His job is to make sure that they don't get out of the building.
Yeah, and so Carly's distracting him with this phone call. But
why does he stop? Why can't he keep walking and talking? He's like, I don't want to take that woman's phone with her. Like,
I thought that was a cool scene when the woman's like, there's a phone call for you, Mr. Barnes. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. He mentions failing twice to save the world, which is World War II and then Infinity War. But I did help save the world in Endgame. You know, like, you were part of that too. You could have mentioned that.
Hey, how many super soldiers are still, not counting Bucky, how many Flag Smasher super soldiers are there right now, counting Carly?
Well, Sharon's about to kill Lennox.
I know, but how many are there?
And then you have the one that's going to be flying the helicopter, and then the three...
That's Diego?
No,
Nico. It's Diego.
Is it Diego?
Yeah.
And then you have the three...
Didi, Dovich, and Gigi. Great names.
Then the three down there, and then Carly.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at this point. How many did we have earlier at the beginning? She said they had 8 from the very beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one died stupidly.
Stupidly, and then the other one died from John Walker.
So that was 8 total. So that means they had 12 left, and they all got smashed except for the one Walker took.
Correct.
Okay.
Or if they need to find another one somewhere.
Yeah, I was curious because, like, at the end of this, I had to listen to it because I thought there was still one floating out there, and it looks like there's only one out there. But, in fact, we find out that they are all taken out of the game. So we'll get to that at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, Sharon kills Lennox. She burns him alive with acid. Well, she says mercury vapor and other things, but it's basically acid.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal. He probably gets the worst death, I think. And this is where you start going, hey, what's up with Sharon here? Even though we'll talk about that shortly.
Bucky's on a bike.
Yeah, Bucky's on a bike. There's a helicopter that's going to be taking off from the top of the skyscraper, which is supposed to be evacuating some of the personnel from the mm-hmm. GRC. They actually there's a radio reference. Some people are leaving in helicopters. Some people are leaving on transport.
Yeah, three different groups.
The helicopter on top of the skyscraper reminded me of one of the best scenes in all of the MCU when Steve Rogers in the Civil War, when Captain America holds the helicopter, you know, and he's flexing his amazing.
It was cool,
bicep.
But I don't know if it was the best.
Oh, that scene's phenomenal. That scene is. I will put that up there in the top 10 scenes of the MCU. When he's holding a helicopter. So this is reminiscent of that. Obviously, Sam's not going to be able to hold
a helicopter.
We're
going to do a podcast on the top 10 scenes, and that better show up in yours. And then when you hear the ones I have, you're going to be like, okay, maybe it's 12.
No, it's 10. It's up there.
Not a chance.
You're going to put things like Bucky catching the shield, and we see it's the Winter Soldier. Ooh.
Well, we already know what the number one scene is. And the number two scene.
It's true, we do. Surprisingly, all our top 10 scenes involves Captain America. This is where I wrote down Sam's ears looked uncomfortable. Anyways, interesting point here because I watched it on the second viewing with closed captioning. They're actually calling him Captain America, closed captioning, so... And we also find out not only does Sam have one Red Wing, he has two Red Wings now. The Red Wings are, there's two of them.
Are you sure that those aren't different than Red Wing?
No, because he calls Red Wing. He goes, hey, Red Wing, go check on those people. And then two things fly out.
Okay.
And so they have this whole helicopter scene here.
Sam leaves after the
call. There was the New York police copter that's there as well.
Useless.
Yeah, but Sam ends up saving both the people, one using Red Wing and the other using himself. He saves them. But this, like we mentioned, he ends up shielding himself. The helicopter bounces off of him.
Deflects, yeah.
Bounces off a shield.
We also had a scene where the Carly was talking to the aforementioned Didi, Dovich, and Gigi, trying to say, hey, worst case scenario, we can kill the hostages. And this is where we see some hesitant in the other Flag Smashers until when she goes, she says one world, and they're very hesitant to say one people here. So we're showing a little division and fried also chicken. we're being set up with her like going, oh, she's gone too far, we can now kill her off on the show without having to feel so bad because she's going to kill hostages.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to talk about that right now. I think a fault of this episode, and now it's a fault of the series in my opinion, especially since Sam later says this teenager, she does not feel like a teenager, does she?
Sometimes she does,
because she's in real life, she's 23. But she doesn't feel, if they would have gotten like a 16-year-old to play this part, it would have a dramatic effect on the death of Carly. It would have had a more dramatic effect on him going, this teenager started.
I think she looks young.
She looks young. She doesn't look like a teenager.
Okay.
I don't think she looks like a teenager. She's not a teenager, even when they started filming. Neither
was Tom Holland, but he looked young when he did Spider-Man.
But Tom Holland looks like a teenager, right? I think he does. So I think one of the things that could have helped this out overall is if they would have had a younger actor or a younger-looking actor play the part. Because then it would have been a much more grievous thing to kill a kid versus... Because he calls her a teenager. Is she 19?
That would be a teen.
I guess it would be a teenager, but that's also an adult. So it's like, but if she had been 16, then we get into this really gray area of like, oh, this is it's a kid. You can't kill a kid, but
The kid is killing other people.
Exactly. We're like Sam. Like Sam doesn't believe in that. He doesn't want to fight Carly, and it would have made more sense. I just think it would have made more sense. I would have liked to have seen that. It's probably nitpicky, but I think I do have a point there. I think it actually has a. It could relevance.
I just didn't. I didn't. I guess I focused on her. In my opinion, she did look young.
Yeah, not young enough, though. That's all I'm trying to say. So Walker ends up showing up again, which is great.
First, the Flag Smashers overpower very useless drivers and guards. Like, they see him walking up. The guys are in there. What do we do? What do we do? Then they're going to open the door. What do we do? What do we do? Then they get the door out. Like, I better get my gun out now. I mean, I know it's a silly scene, but, like, those guys didn't do anything. Useless.
You got super soldiers coming at you, though. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess. And then Bucky, obviously, when he arrives, and that's a pretty good scene, but they distract him by burning people. Here's the thing with Bucky. When Bucky's going up against these guys is, and not so much Bucky, but also with Walker, because as you said, Walker arrives with his new shield here, and there's the whole line where she says, like, hey, we don't want to hurt people that don't matter, and he kind of gets him. He's like, well, you don't think Lamar's life mattered, which you can read into that however you want to read in that. But when we get Walker fighting at this point, and Bucky, although they take Bucky, Bucky's busy freeing people from the first truck, Walker... If they all have the formula, and they all do, he should be mopping the floor with them. He's a military-trained fighter versus a 17-year-old girl. Granted, she's got the endurance and all that other stuff, but if they're all equal in that respect, then the bigger one should win, especially with the training. But I guess they are taking several of them at the same time. But it's
and
still.
They're beating the hell out of them. But the thing is, these people don't really feel pain. Like, they take a hit, and they just keep coming. I mean, at one point... Carly takes the parking meter, right? Mm-hmm. And she's using that as a weapon, and it's also a metaphor how she hates big government by using the parking meter.
Get out of here.
So, I mean, they're using weapons as well, so I think that's helping. At the meantime, I thought this scene was interesting because Bucky does go and save the hostages.
Of the first truck.
And they thank him. And he was like, there was a moment of pause for him, like,
you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Like, that was cool, because this show is called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right? Obviously, Falcon is becoming Captain America. That's the big story. But Bucky has a story, too, and he does start the show in one place, and he does end in a different place. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, the subtle growth in it.
Place is Louisiana.
In Louisiana, with Sam's sister. Sam talks to one of the passengers on the helicopter.
Yeah, he scanned him.
Yep.
And
I thought it was great. She found out that one of them could fly a helicopter.
Ayla. A-Y-L-A is her name.
He actually, when he makes the line, a little birdie told me you knew how to fly, the little birdie being Red Wing, I thought that was, I liked it. I liked it. Down back in the fight scene, John is fighting, and he's at this point now, he's fighting Carly a lot because he wants to kill Carly for what she did to Lamar. Then he gets stuck with this situation where there's hostages about to fall off a bridge. Very similar.
It's not a bridge. It's just a road.
Yeah.
I figured this out after watching it because my first thought was...
scaffolding of some sort.
My first thought was, did Bucky, who fell off, what looks like two stories down. I'm like, where is this road that all these people are walking on that's at such a higher distance than where Bucky, who I'm thinking lands on the ground. Bucky's not landing on the ground. Bucky's landing in a deep hole that has other building construction there. It's like, I think...
They're building a building.
I think they went down three stories or two stories to put in infrastructure down there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not like he's falling down to street level. I think street level is still two and a half stories up where they're at.
Sure.
But I got lost there for a little while. And again, that had to do with the fact I was trying to follow everything. Remember when we were watching and I'm like, how did Bucky get down? Oh, yeah, that's right. He got knocked down. I'm like, well, where is he coming from? Yeah. And you also, we talked about the pileup, but Sam does take Diego out and dumps him in the Hudson
River. That's coming up. Walker first goes, he gets the decision of, do I save the passenger, do I save the hostages, or do I go after Carly? And he runs and he tries to save Carly's thing. And this is when, oh, you know what? Nope. I have Sam ends up saving the hostages. He saves hostages all over the place, I guess. Yeah, you're right. He does have the helicopter first.
Yeah, and then Walker makes a choice of rescue versus vengeance.
Yes, correct. This again, this scene was reminding me of Shazam. They have the scene in Shazam where the bus is going over the bridge edge, and he ends up saving it. This is a common thing where like something's like teetering on the edge of a bus or a transport mm-hmm. at some point. You gotta save it. So, but yeah, he goes. I like this because this is a little bit of redemption for Walker. Because like, what is Walker's bad thing right now? He killed one of the flag smashers
in front of other people.
In front of other people. That's but it. Again, Vale goes, "Hey, by the way, if you'd have killed them all, we would have been like, hey, thanks for killing all these terrorists. Like, right? Like,
we didn't like him because of his bad attitude.
His bad attitude, which is a silly reason for not liking someone. You know, who has a bad attitude. Wolverine, he's got a bad attitude. You know, he hasn't done anything criminally.
But then but as far as yeah, you're right, in the world of the show, he didn't. He gets dismissed and all that other, and he gets discharged. But yeah, as far as the viewing public is, he's been fighting our heroes, so we don't like him because of that, mm-hmm. as well as everything on top of that. But yeah, his whole arc here is interesting. It's a timing thing. I'm not sure if it works as perfect as some people want it to, and I've heard complaints about his arc. You know, it's like, I would accept this arc if it had happened over another year or two. You know, there's that argument versus, hey, just two episodes ago he's decapitating somebody, and now
no, he wasn't decapitating. They've
confirmed that they took the guy's head off.
They did not take the head off because I wanted them to, but you never see the head come off. He's hitting him in the chest. And I agree with that. They could have spread it out longer, but I do find his character way more interesting than normal because he's a gray character. He's not good, but he's not a bad guy. He's in between. I'm looking forward to where they're going with this character.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is the show set up from the get-go, from the first Cap movie, like this drug will enhance who you are. And we've seen the good of Steve Rogers and we've seen the bad of the Nazi Red Skull.
Everyone else.
of the Red Skull, how terrible he went. And so with John Walker, I think as a viewing public, we've been given like 2 points to follow. It can only be this or this. And that's not actually true because we're looking at Bucky's got the formula to a certain degree. And so do all 8 flag smashers have it. And they're not necessarily going to such extremes. So I guess we should step back and say John Walker, even though it looked like he was going down this dark path, that doesn't mean then, okay, that's it. He's the villain now. He will only say like might makes right. They're making it more complicated, which they should, saying, okay, he had a bad moment here, a very bad moment. But does that mean he's irredeemable or can he, you know, redeem himself here in mm-hmm. the eyes of the viewing public, or is it, you know, a gray area?
That's why.
Or should he be canceled? Is it a cancel culture thing? He's done. Cancel him.
No, I think he's a fascinating character, and I look forward to seeing more with him. But in the end, it was Sam that saves the hostages as this thing is falling. He's able to catch it and use the power of the suit to help him.
Which means that suit has to have some sort of vibranium, like Black Panther suit, because he puts himself in front of that. He's just a man.
Of course, yeah.
And if his suit's pushing him, that would just pancake him to the front. He's like, oh no, the suit's... And he smushes him. So it has to have some sort of vibranium in there.
Or it might not have vibranium in there, and they're just saying he was able to withstand the forces and push it back up.
Yeah, no, he has vibranium. But we hear people talk. They say, hey, that's Black Falcon. And he goes, nah, that's Captain America.
That was great. Loved it. All right, now we get our...
They're all down in the basement area.
We get our big reveal coming up here.
Well, first, Bucky catches a rebar spear.
Yes.
And then after that, gas gets thrown in from Batroc because he kind of gives them weapons and he shows back up out of nowhere, and so does Sharon.
And this is important. Carly tried to kill Bucky with the rebar spear. So it's not like Bucky's not able to die. Like, she threw that at him.
Well, that's just that we talked about that with the you know, Wakandan fight when they were throwing spears, and even the fight where Lamar got killed. It's like everybody's throwing killing blows, but we're supposed to be shocked when actually somebody does die. It's like you were throwing killing moves through this whole time.
But this is, like I was going to say, this is the big reveal of who the power broker is. It's Sharon Carter. I hate it. I don't think it's good. I don't mind it. Actually, I mean, I don't mind it as a thought, but the logistics of it don't make sense. Jerry, you had mentioned about how she was blipped out. And so this is how many years afterwards?
Okay, here's how this works. She's a Skrull. Okay, that's the real way how it works, is she's a Skrull, Sharon Carter. This is not Sharon Carter. This is going to turn out to be something with Secret Invasion. Sharon Carter's going to come back because she's a Skrull. I'm going to stand by that. If it's not true, Joel will eat a bug.
If it's not true, she's working for Zola. So that's okay.
No, so she's a Skrull. But how it works within the context here is, obviously, you know, Bucky had told Sharon, hey, we're entering the tunnel on William Street heading south. She gets down there. See, Sam is tracking everybody. They split up so that Walker and Bucky go over there. And then the Flag Smasher Carly's out there. She hears the whistling. She gets pulled in, caught by Sharon. Sharon's got a weapon on her, says, drop it. And then she lets Carly raise her weapon against her. I'm like, why?
I think she still wants to use Carly. Yeah. Trying to influence her to use her as a as a super soldier.
So she says, I'm disappointed in you. And she's like, well, I was going to say that to you. She wants to control, and Carly says that she wants to control the world that hurt her. And the reason I think it could work, I'm going to have to stretch this, because if Sharon was blipped out, that means that Sharon was the power broker for 2 years, roughly, in Madripoor. Then she got blipped out for 5 years. And then she comes back, and it's now 6 months later. So she's been the power broker for 2 years and then 6 months. Or if we take the fact that her face appeared on the screen in Endgame saying she had blipped out, but she's already hidden herself in that world, maybe she just let people think that. Like, they don't have records of everybody. So maybe she didn't blip out. Maybe she's been in power in the background this whole time. The question does come up was, we know Steve Rogers, who is Captain America, was around for those 5 years. Are you telling me there's no way he wouldn't have been looking for Sharon this whole time? Or even when he knew she came back after the 5 years, I'd read something just this last week that there was supposed to be a scene with Sharon Carter in Endgame with him, and they realized it was just too confusing for people because he's going to eventually get back together with Peggy and Joseph, so they ended up not doing that. But they actually talked about having Sharon in there, because would Steve have just dismissed her the whole time? Would Steve was like, well, yeah, I'm not worried about Sharon, which doesn't necessarily hold up, but whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's see where they go with it. Let's see if it is a Skrull. Let's see if it's just another face mask. I mean, maybe it's just someone. Maybe it is Armin Zola wearing a face mask, Jerry, over his mechanical suit.
It's not going to be him.
Well, I thought you said it was going
to
be him.
It seemed like that's something I'd want to happen, because that's such a Captain America villain. You want to see it come back and use it. But we're not. But we actually get the villain Batroc again shows up here. He apparently overhears. He goes, you are the power broker. Everybody at home hear that. And then Sharon shoots him. I guess he's dead. And then Carly shoots her.
We see his body briefly, but we don't see what happens.
Well, she gets shot in the gut. He gets shot upper torso somewhere, it looks like. And then Sam arrives and sees that.
Ooh, did you say samurai?
I am now. Sam arrives. And while he arrives there, we see cut back over, and again, this is one of those scenes that Joel's famous of, where they actually rewind the clock to tell us something that happened earlier, because it's not all happening at the same time.
It can be happening after this.
Yeah, the three Flag Smashers get tricked and caught because they use the app against them, and this
Suckers.
Is where Walker has a Lincoln quote, and apparently him and Bucky are best friends now. A little rushed, but okay. So then Carly's got the gun on Sam. They chit-chatting back and forth. And they fight, but she doesn't want to fight her.
So Carly,
he doesn't want to fight her.
Carly dies.
She gets shot three times by Sharon. After they have this whole fight scene where Sam is not saying, I don't want to fight you.
Yes.
But he's going to fight.
What's important here is that with Carly dying and with whatever happened to Batroc, nobody knows that Sharon's the power broker that dies with her and the Flag Smashers.
Yes. Well, that's why it explains to us why she shot Batroc.
Yes.
And again, at this fight's over with after that, and Sam carries out the teenager.
I want to point out real fast, there is a line that Sharon makes. She goes, I'm always prepared. I always prepare a backup. So she's thinking a couple moves ahead. So that's why she kills. Like, she's already prepared for all of this.
She wasn't prepared to get shot in the gut, unless she was. That's a real
risk.
Maybe
she was.
Yeah, but anyways, Sam decides after all this is done, he sees his friend Sharon there shot on the ground, and he sees this dead teenager who's killing people, and he says, Sharon, you're going to have to walk out on your own because I'm going to carry this kid out to everybody who's already dead. Why?
Why? Well, when he puts her on the...
Gurney,
I was like, maybe she's not dead. She wasn't dead yet.
Yeah.
We find out that Sharon, her gunshot wound is nothing. It's just a flesh wound.
It's because she's a Skrull, and they were able to shift their organs around it.
So here's kind of the culmination of...
The speech to the senator.
Yes, the culmination of the series. This is where Sam gives a speech about coming together, how do we make this work. This is something we've talked about on this podcast, logistically, what's going on, how is this all working, who, where are all these people going? We don't actually get to see a lot of the atrocities that the GRC is committing to these refugees. We don't get to see what the GRC is doing well and helping people. They make mention of it in this speech from one of the senators, but this is all about Sam giving his speech. What'd you think?
Well, I get it. This was a Captain America speech moment, and we also see like Isaiah watching it on TV and getting wrapped into it.
Watching it on WHIH.
But my question to you is, what solutions does Sam offer when they say it's complicated? And, you know, again, it comes down to that thing, like, who lives in what building 5 years later and everything, you know, that. So what solutions did Sam offer?
Well, one of the solutions is, he goes, who's in the room with you? And basically saying, you know, you're making all these decisions about other people's lives around the world.
I like that.
Who's in the room with you? You're set. You're fine. You need to bring in some other people. I think that is obviously a good solution. You bring in the people who are affected by this, so they get to have a little bit of a say in this.
So who are those? Are you going to take those 3 million people? Like, I need you guys to organize. Who's going to be your spokesperson?
I have no idea. We don't know any of the details in this. They tell us this. I still have no idea what their. I still don't know what the GRC vote is. It's to
push people back where?
They're going to go back to their home cities.
Do they know if everybody, do they already assume that everybody's state in 5 years, everybody's staying in the same groups? Like, this entire group came from Pakistan and they moved to France.
I don't know.
None of them split up. And now, this one's not from Pakistan. They're from Turkey. Which one? This one's from, you know,
so they
Istanbul.
Took,
you know.
All these people come back, and the people that come back, they round them up and they move them to refugee camps across the world. And now they want to take those people from the refugee camps and put them back into the states, the countries they were from.
Yeah, and also 5 years. In five years, did those people just, in other words, you're living in this place for 5 years and you're succeeding in your business. Did they also go, and you can't have any of the money you took in the property?
I don't know if they're getting rid of people who have been around for 5 years. They're getting rid of the people who blip back.
No, absolutely not. That Carly and them are not people who blip back. They're people who had moved on for 5 years, and then the blip came, and now they're being pushed back to where they came from. They're the ones who moved, not the blipped people, because the blipped people wouldn't be getting moved back to anywhere. They got blipped back to where they left from.
So they're saying the blip people are moving back into their houses that already has someone else living in them.
Correct.
And they're kicking the people that were living in them.
Correct. That's an oversimplification, but yes.
See, it's really complicated. I never actually got that. And to be honest, like, who's there? There's no, and this is what Sam's trying to say, there's no bad guy in this situation. GRC, you're not the bad guy for wanting to help people that lived in a house for 5 years that have now been kicked out, like, or vice versa. And that's what he's trying to get at is.
Yeah. But he's also making a statement like, the GRC, when you guys got, you know, 6 months ago, when you guys got formed, you know, who did that? Like, maybe they could turn him and go, Sam, we did get representation back then. This is how the organization got formed. And he's going, oh, I didn't know that. I just assumed it was, you know, none of those people. Like, this is the solution we've come up with after 6 months of conversation.
But he makes the point that these people are at the GRC are incredibly powerful. Like, they can tear down forests with a phone call. They can
do all these things with just groups out there.
Yeah, where the people in power can make things happen. If they really wanted to make things happen. And he's saying this is a time for us to be unified and put this together. It felt really like I'm watching this and I'm watching people, like, they're shooting with the camera, but they're really far away. I'm like, wow, these people at home must be hearing terrible audio. It's not like they're walking around with boom mics and getting right up in their system.
Now, who's nitpicking?
But I'm also just like, these senators are just standing around as Sam says all of this stuff. And I was just like, it seemed a little forced, right? It didn't seem natural to have this huge speech that everyone around the world is watching or something. I don't know. It didn't seem as natural. And I don't remember ever having... Has there been speeches that have been this long in any of the MCU, the movies? I guess maybe Thanos has had moments like this.
I don't know.
It seemed a little preachy. Not in that it doesn't need to be said, but like they wrote a speech. It felt like they wrote a speech.
And they also, as the show does, they've never given us the other point of view of the blipped people who turn back and their place is now occupied or their family's place. We never got that representation on this show that the GRC is supposedly, they're the ones who are looking out for them. We never got like Thank you for letting me have back my house since I've lost all of this. We never see these people. We just see the displaced. We don't see the people who came back.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think it's very complicated, and it's very hard to do. And I don't know if the writers looked at it and said, we don't want to tell that story or not.
We talked about this with WandaVision, you know, the idea that she didn't get to see her mother die. Right? She missed out on that, being next to her mother as her mother died of cancer. Right? This is Rambeau. And that's, you know, she missed out on that. So she should, you know, it didn't work out well for her. This isn't a good thing to come back after 5 years. So it's an interesting speech. It's an interesting moment.
Bucky acknowledges at the end of the speech by saying, nice job, Cap.
That was awesome. I love that.
He gets a nod to Walker. Walker, so I guess they're okay.
We find out that Zemo has the remaining Flag Smashers blown up.
Well, before that, we also get a connection with Sharon, and she's, you know, basically, she doesn't want to be, you know, taken to the hospital, and Sam also says, hey, I didn't forget about my promise, which basically is going to lead to our mid-credit scene. But this was and then right before this, the scene you're talking about, the government comes up to Sam and says, hey, the last Flag Smasher's in the Hudson. Can you want to go get him? And he's like, yeah, of course. I'm Captain America. I'm going to go help. And so he goes off to do that. And then we cut to what looks like the three Flag Smashers.
There's four.
It looks like three there. And so there obviously has been, this isn't like happening like the next day or whenever it is, because they say four Flag Smashers are killed there. But I'm watching it. I'm like, where's that fourth? And so maybe he's in there and I didn't see it.
I saw four.
Okay.
I saw four, yeah. But they end up getting blown up with the help of Zemo's butler.
That would be Beemo.
If you blinked, you missed him earlier on in the show. They end up blowing up because Zemo is on the raft, and he is happy that he got the last laugh against the Flag Smashers. Who, Jerry, for $500 bonus points, who else is on the raft at this time?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's okay. Probably not. Depends on how the MCU wants to move moving forward. Trish Walker is on there, who played Hellcat in Jessica Jones.
No,
and Diamondback is also on
they're
there.
They're definitely not there. That's a different universe.
Well, we'll see.
Absolutely.
We'll see. We'll see if it's different. But that's technically, if we count everything from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Trish Walker and Diamondback are on the raft.
Well, who are we to count, and who is the official count?
Well, you missed out on those bonus points.
Is the count the directors of Infinity War and Endgame who say Cap went to an alternate universe, or is the official count the writers who say Cap was just hiding in our world for the last 7 years? Who's to say who's in charge? Who's to say where did Sam's shield come from, considering that the shield Captain America had was broken, but this shield looks like it was made in another universe?
Kevin has the final say on all this.
But he has yet to say anything, so we're still left with what's going on.
And that's okay. That's okay. He's leaving it up to storytellers to tell the stories.
So take us to Vale meeting the U.S.
agent. So we get Vale. Vale's back on the show. She is talking with Walker's wife, and she's like, oh, Zemo killed the Flag Smashers. Maybe I knew about that. Maybe I handed it. No, I didn't.
It was a little silly. No, I didn't. It was a little silly, actually.
But it's trying to show how mysterious she is. And she's a funny character. She's supposed to be. Well, at least they've set her up to be that way.
There's no basis in that anywhere in the book other than the fact that they got Julie Louis Dreyfus.
But there's no basis in the book. I don't care. Carly's not the Flag Smasher from the comics. Doesn't have to be any basis in the book other than the name.
How? That's a bold statement.
Well, it's true. I think that's a very true statement. I don't think
so. Sam Wilson doesn't have to be an African American.
There's certain things they stick to, and there's certain things they're not. Right. I don't think Vale has to be Nick Fury's girl. I don't think that would fly.
I just said it wasn't funny. And you made the broad statement that you don't have other than the name, and then you amended it quickly when I mentioned Sam Wilson's ethnicity.
I said it doesn't have to be, but they can. It's a choice of the writers to say we want to stay close to the character in the comic versus doing something different with it.
She does make the statement, things are about to get weird, meaning leaning towards another season or another movie.
Yes, and she gives Walker the name U.S. Agent as he appears in his new outfit.
Which is just in black versus the one he has, but it looks great.
Looks great. He's back.
He keeps saying, I'm back, which again, a lot of people feel like that was too quick a turn. I should say a lot of people, some vocal people on the internet have said that. I can understand it, but I'm letting it go. Saying I'm back is also a phrase from the comics that John Walker said when he comes back
It's on the cover of the comic.
Yeah. So let's get to Bucky confronting the old man.
Yep, he makes amends.
Does he?
Well, that's what he. That's what.
Let me ask you. Then I'm asking you. Watching that scene, Bucky goes to the old man and tells him, "Hey, I murdered your kid." Mm-hmm. What good did that do the old man? What was the old man getting before?
Well,
this?
Now because the old man before didn't know if his son was dead or not. He was hoping and praying that his son was alive.
Okay, so that was what it was.
We do hear this often that people would rather know than not know.
Okay,
that's a true thing. I will say though that you question this, and I think it's fair. I wish we would have seen more. I would have liked to seen the old man's reaction to it. I would have liked to seen what happens, because that's gritty.
That's uncomfortable because it's all it's going to...
That's incredibly uncomfortable, but you know what?
But do I want to spend time with that? At the end of this series, I want to see Bucky getting dumped on again. Or am I in my point with the storytelling of Bucky going, all right, Bucky's gone through so much and he's going to go through more here. Do I want to actually, at the end of this, going, oh, he's just getting, how could you? And it's just this terrible thing where he's all messed up. It's like, I'm like, let's get out of this scene. Because it's the end of the episode. I don't want to spend that. You could have done this at the beginning. I'm okay. Don't want to spend
time. They could have had another episode on top of this. But that's also saying, we're just going to show you the Flag Smasher side. What about the other side? We don't have time to show you all that.
Yeah.
But I want you to show me that. What about the thing? I don't want you to show me that. You can't. That's having it both ways.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? It's entertainment.
Well, it's true, and I think it would have been incredibly entertaining and interesting to go into the depth that they would do. How would the old man react? How would Bucky react to that scene? I think there's a richness there versus him just telling him, and all of a sudden we don't hear what happened.
Yeah.
I think that would have been awesome acting, because I think Sebastian Stan had some amazing acting in this, and I could have gone for more of it.
Yeah. Now, I have written in my notes here, help me out here, the next scene, I have written down here, the rapist gets his book.
Yes, the rapist. Or the therapist.
Oh, that makes much more sense.
So the therapist gets Bucky's book. All the names have been crossed off.
There's a deleted scene where she sold that book for $5,000.
Yes. He's crossed off all the names, which means he's now gone and made amends with everybody on the list. And he doesn't need the therapist anymore. He's changed. We can go through all the names on the list, but...
No. Then he sees the old man with a girl, and that's closure?
Yeah, well, the girl walks off.
Because she was sick of the old man, and the old man said something to her?
Because it was never about the girl.
Oh, it's always about the girl.
He was just doing that. It was for the old man, and he saw the old man's living his life and moving forward.
All right, fine. Let's go on to Isaiah and Sam's connection.
Yeah, Sam and Isaiah, they have a conversation. What's important here, I think Isaiah, is when he calls Sam special, he's like, you're special. Martin Luther King, you're not on that level, but you're special.
He mentions that the GRC is standing down on their plans, whatever those plans and what the new thing is, that's for future.
I thought it was funny when Sam is like, don't you ever lighten up? And then his grandson comes in. He's like, no, yeah, that's not his thing.
Yeah, but Sam makes the statement that he's not going to let anyone say he can't fight for this country, which I thought was a bold statement.
Yes. And Sam takes him to the Smithsonian, where they've added a new wing dedicated to Isaiah.
Oh, I see what you did there, wing, Falcon. Nice.
And dedicated to Isaiah and his legacy.
Some of those pictures on there were from the real Tuskegee Airmen and actual real soldiers.
And I think at this point, you have that new wing dedicated, right? At this point, in-universe, there should be movies and TV shows made all about Isaiah now and his...
Maybe.
His group. Because, I mean, that's what would happen.
Real world, we talked about this last episode, people would be questioning Falcon and the Winter Soldier all the time. There'd be press. We know we live in a world with paparazzi and press and stuff like that. That would be happening all the time. They don't, but I don't know if I want to watch that world too much where it's
I
just
do
like,
want to watch.
Where
do.
They're just beating with the cult of celebrity versus the cult of superhero.
I agree with that, but I do want to watch a TV show that shows the history of Isaiah in World War II.
He wasn't in World War II. It was Korea.
Korea, thank you. In Korea and watching that, I think that would be really interesting.
About that.
And I know I mentioned that before. Back to Louisiana, Bucky shows up to a big Sam party. They're having everyone over, the community, the neighborhood over, and having a big party.
They look off to the horizon, hand on the shoulder, they walk away, and it changes, and the text comes on screen that Joel completely missed the first
time
it played. It says Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
And it's not like it just says that once, it says it twice.
Joel's like, what?
Yeah, just skip over that. It's such a long title.
That's what we get our mid-credit scene, our second mid-credit scene of the series, where we see Sharon Carter get her full pardon, and she's going to have an opening in her old division.
So the new title is CATWS. C-A-A-T-W-S.
C-A-A-T-W-S.
Actually, T-C-A-T-T. C-A-A-T-W-S. T-CAT-W-S. T-CAT widescreen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Welcome home, Agent Carter, he says.
Yes, yeah, but before that, I want to mention that we've talked about this in previous weeks. There's gaps in the credits where we predict names are going to go of famous people when they make cameos on the show. There was gaps. They never got filled.
Yes.
So we thought that was something. It turned out to be nothing.
Correct.
But yeah, we go to the mid-credit sequence with Sharon at the Senate hearing with the senator, who apparently is in charge of everything.
Yes.
It's the one senator.
It's all happy and good. And then as she walks, all of a sudden they put in a creepy sound effect, and they slow motion. It's like, oh, she's evil. She's
Wait
a Skrull.
Wait a minute. So do you think there's only 50 senators now, or do they get back to 100? Because if half the population got taken away.
I don't know. See, the senator, the
senators are
part
always
of,
two.
Senators the senator are is part two. Of the government. And then that particular senator was also on the GRC, which was an international organization.
Yes, and he's also in charge of Captain America. He's also
John
in charge
Walker,
of
yeah.
Sharon Carter. He's also in charge of all that. Yeah. I'm sorry, senators, there's always two senators.
Correct.
There's the House.
Yes.
The Congress would have went by half, yes.
So evil talk happens after this. She's outside on the steps of the government building, and she's having a conversation saying that we're going to be able to have new clients and forget the super soldiers. We got a whole bunch of new stuff. And I just read before we got on the podcast today who she was talking to.
Mephisto.
No. This is
she wasn't talking to Mephisto?
This is a rumor, but it seems like it could be true. And
Armin Zola.
It could be spoilery for another movie. Apparently there was a scene shot, and then they had to reshoot it because they decided not to do the scene. Again, this could turn out to be bogus, but it seems like it's coming from a source that's been right before about a scene that was shot here. And again, this also had to do with when the show was originally supposed to air. It was supposed to be the first show last fall before WandaVision and everything else. So do you want to hear who the speculation is?
She's talking.
You're not going to get it.
To the Hulk.
No, and it's supposedly.
She's talking.
Here's where it gets into spoiler.
To the. Okay.
This ties in with the fact that we know that Val has a cameo in
Black Widow.
So that was supposed to be the first time we see her. So that when we see her in this, we're like, oh my God, there she is again. Versus now we're going to have a reverse of that. We're going to be like, oh my God, there she is in Black Widow. This particular villain that she's talking to that everybody is, that's again, this is supposed to be shot. So take this with a huge grain of salt. And I don't want it to be a spoiler because no known for sure. So if you don't want to hear, this is kind of, this could be a spoiler for Spider-Man. What's the last home? The third Spider-Man that they're filmed, and it's coming out in December. This could be a villain tied to that. So if you don't want to know about this, jump forward two minutes or whatever.
She's talking to J. Jonah Jameson?
She's supposedly talking to William Dafoe as Norman Osborn. Apparently, the rumor, as we know, that both Jamie Foxx and Alfred Molina have come out and said they're both in the new Spider-Man movie, and Marvel's not happy about that being announced, I guess. I don't know if that's Sony letting it happen or whatnot. And that's spoilers for The Amazing Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man movie. And so they're trying to keep a lid on the fact that William Dafoe is somehow
William Devane,
the main bad guy behind all of this stuff in the new Spider-Man movie. If this is true, again, this could be all bogus, but if it was him that they were talking to and they would have cut to a shot of him looking out of Oscorp Tower, which is in fact the old Stark Tower, the Avengers Tower, he's the one who bought it.
I like it.
Again, this
we'll
is
see.
Just.
Well, I'm stuck on
it's
the
hard
fact.
To call this as a spoiler, and I don't want it to be one of those things where if it doesn't turn out to be true, we're like, oh man, because that happens a lot. People get excited for something. I just thought that if they said that scene was filmed, that's very interesting because it would tie into who she's talking to more. So if
I
that's
heard she
true
was talking to Lady Sif, but that's
nobody's
I'm still
talking
trying to
Lady
figure
Sif.
Out if Black Widow is a prequel or a movie that takes place. Obviously, before she died, is Val going to show up de-aged a little bit?
Depends on the scene that she's in, if it was taking place at that time period, or if it's an end credit scene in Black Widow that takes place in present day. We don't know.
They just need to make a whole movie that's just end credits. I feel like that would be a really exciting movie.
But what would you have at the end credits then?
It'd be like, all these end credits have these exciting scenes. Why don't they make a movie that's just end credits? Because then that'd be exciting.
Yeah, but then what do you put in at the end credit?
Well, then you put something even more exciting.
Ah, see, you reached too high there.
Well, that's just, it's always, we always talk about like the end credit sequence, like how important and pivotal they are, it feels like, to the MCU, when they're not really. I mean, how many end credit sequences have been
that's true, that
crucial to the...
That Ant-Man and the Wasp one where the...
That one's very important. I get that, but there's...
Where the ant is on
Tony
the drum.
Stark
ant,
the,
ant's on the drum. I'm talking about when the ant is playing the drum set.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay, that I thought one. You were talking... I thought you were talking about...
Yours was a mid-credit scene.
Yeah. Or when Captain America's like, you waited around till the end.
That's a funny one.
Patience.
All right, so that brings us to the end of this episode and this season or series. Did this change your opinion on this at all for the better or the worse?
When I went into this series, I don't know if I mentioned this in the first podcast we did. Go back and listen to it if I did and let me know.
I don't want to.
I don't know. I remember saying, you know, these are two characters, Sam and Bucky, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That's four
people. They're not my favorite. They're not people that I really want to see movies of. I mean, they can make exciting movies with them and all that.
But you're more a Scarlet Witch kind of guy.
I like Scarlet Witch. But obviously, I'm a Captain America,
Loki fan,
Iron Man, Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy, that area. I think I still have the same feeling for these characters. Is they're interesting. I like them. Sam is never going to be Steve Rogers or Captain America, and they make a point of mentioning this in the show, obviously. But I find their characters okay. I just necessarily. I didn't get more interested in their characters because of this show. So that being said, I think the show was very entertaining. I liked WandaVision better. I think I would still watch more. I'm curious to see where they go with it, but this didn't change my attitude towards these characters. I still think they're fine characters. They're just not characters that I'm in love with. What about you?
Shockingly, I think I did enjoy WandaVision more. I don't think it's an apples-to-apples comparison because they were such different shows, different characters, different premises. And maybe I just like the mystery of the WandaVision a little bit more. I love this show. I really did. I think having the conversation we did, you pointed out a couple of things that had been sticking with me that I think, okay, that made more sense. And I'm happier about that having had this conversation. I love these characters. I have more love for Bucky just on a personal level I always have. I always like the Falcon. I think it's great. There's that part of me that's always going to be like, well, then, you know, you're the Falcon. It's not like you need to replace the Captain America because you're already so awesome. But we'll go with this. I know that they'll change things down the road. I liked it, and I'd like to see more with these characters. I'd watch another season. I think this is a good avenue for these characters. They're dynamic between the two of them. I love it. I love the evolution of these characters.
You know, Jay, sorry to interrupt you, but you had mentioned the earlier episodes had some better episodes that you liked more. I think that was part of it, is the fact that you had the dynamics between the two of them. I wish we could have seen a little bit more of that. A little bit more of the humor, a little bit more of the back and forth. We do get to see them grow into friends, obviously, by the end. I could have used a little bit more of them together.
I think one of the things you pointed out earlier was true also is once Zemo left, which we have, even though he's not a villain, he is a villain, he's not a villain, I think his personality is so much more engaging than the Flag Smashers, who they put on masks and we're always trying to figure out who's who. Oh, that's Gigi. Oh, that's Dee Dee. It's like, come on. So I think that hurt the show to a certain degree because the Flag Smashers never really pulled me in as dramatically. They seem more like just foot soldiers versus somebody like a Zemo, or even, I guess, the Power Broker, or the mystery of the Power Broker, was much more engaging on that level versus, oh, and then here come the Flag Smashers again, who really don't know what they want to do. It looks like they kind of want to fight. They don't want to fight.
If they would have made her a 16-year-old, no. And it was actually 16, I think it would have been a much different feeling for the show.
I disagree.
No? Flag Smashers aren't that good, and I'm giving you a way of making it better.
I agree. I don't think that makes it any better. Her age has nothing to do with how
But he mentions
how
a teenager.
I heard you in the podcast say
if they would
have
killed a 16-year-old?
No, it's not going to change that. The problem with their characters isn't the fact that she may be 3 years older than where she is now. I'm like, oh, now that's going to make it. But no, I think that the characters drive and all of that. And just design of the characters, they all wear these generic masks. You're not sure who's who. They never felt the opposite side I wanted them to be. And throughout the show, I think they play with that and they say, like, listen, maybe it's not so. Maybe John Walker's the bad guy. We're kind of maybe going that direction. Maybe Zemo's kind of the bad guy. We're going that direction. Maybe the GRC is the bad guy. We don't have such a defined point, and that's okay. I mean, if you look at WandaVision, it was Agatha all along, but we weren't sure if it was Agatha or if it were it's the head of S.W.O.R.D. So it's okay having multiple ones like that, but all of those were so much more intriguing to me, where I was like, oh my God, what if it is the guy who's taking the Vision apart because he's got this plan? Or maybe it is Agatha because she's doing this, or maybe it is the Mephisto. Alternate Quicksilver versus this one. I'm like, okay, I don't, the villains didn't work as well as I hoped, versus when somebody like Vale comes in, you're like, ooh, I have no idea what she's doing. Man, she's got enough personality in her 2 minutes of screen time that I'm like, I want to see what she's going to do. Is she a bad guy? Is she a good guy? Is she a great guy? I don't know, but I like that. And so,
you know, that's interesting you bring it up, because basically what you're saying is there was no real villain in this.
I'm saying there's a bunch of them that they kind of go back and forth with. But yeah, you're right. They don't.
And all that. And, you know, when you're watching comic book movies or comic book series or anything like that, it's okay to have Gray. But it's also okay to have a bad guy. It's okay to have Thanos. It's okay to have a big bad. That's why we were talking about episodes ago. We're like, hey, I wonder if Zemo is behind all of this and he's been planning this because he's ultra smart and he can think the 7 steps ahead and he's the one behind all of this.
That is
turns out it wasn't Zemo. And that makes his character, that I think that hurts the show a little bit, because it makes his character not as, I don't know, his character just doesn't, it loses a little bit of the luster and the power behind who his character could be, because right now his character is a total failure. Yeah, he blew up some flag smashers because he had his butler kill them.
That's all he wanted. That was his plan from the very beginning. He was going to kill himself at the end of Civil War.
He could have had a bigger plan of going, you know, he's created a mafia empire as a power broker, or he's able to finally escape and get away from the Wakandans and the Raft and all that. I mean, I'm just saying
they
could have made his character even better.
I think that was built into the character. Now that his journey is going to, he's going to go a different direction.
Hey man, I'm just giving you options. You said you didn't care for it. I'm giving you an option. You're saying, no, the way they did it was good.
I'm saying that your option isn't what I mean, that's thank you for that. But I'm going back to what you said about, it's true. You said, I like gray villain. I like when you don't know the villain's motive, or it's a little bit murky, or it's gray. You can do that with a Loki. You can do that. I mean, look at people rave about Killmonger and Black Panther. And I'm like, yeah, he's fine. I don't, you know, he did a great job, but it's like that one never really sucked me in so much. And you have other gray-ish villains in, you know, you could take the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming, which is kind of a gray character because of the daughter and all that. But I will say for myself, And this is going back to what you just said, and it's probably the last I'll talk about it, was that sometimes it's okay to have a villain. And I think by saying that, I think you're saying it's okay to have a villain that's a little more like, oh, I can totally root against this villain because they're bad.
They're nefarious.
And I think the best example for me that I sometimes want when I want my escapism to be a little more black and white, not always. I like the gray area, but the perfect example in this universe is when they were dealing with Hydra. It's like, they're bad. You know why they're bad? Because they're Nazis. And sometimes it's just fun to watch the bad guys get beat, and you're like, yes, get them.
Yeah, it's like DC. The Joker is bad. Like, the Joker's bad. Like, you can make it, you can try to make him good in the Suicide Squad sort of way, but it's like, but he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. And I'm, again, at the end of the day, I would like to, you know, I don't know how I got diverted on this conversation.
Talking about the series as a whole and why it maybe didn't necessarily, yeah. Where the weakness was that could be improved, and the Flag Smashers just having a villain in this show is definitely the option. Because right now the villain are the people who don't want a black Captain America.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely what you're left with at the end. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right, that brings us to the end of this series. Like we said before, we're going to come back with episode 300. If you have any feedback or any kind of ideas for us, please get in touch with us on our Facebook page or the Gmail of BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. And again, go to our Patreon.site, patreon.com/BennettBrothersPodcast, where you can help support the podcast and throw a dollar at us. And it gives us feedback and helps keep the light on and helps us keep wanting to do this. And we give out mini casts that will have conversations that we don't talk about here on the podcast. And they're a nice little incentive for you to help us out. And it's fun to do. So please let us know. And again, after the 300, we'll be coming back with probably the Loki show. You know, we'll see. So thanks, guys, for listening. This has been fun. Hope it was for you, too. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.